ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise God. So we started last week, or rather, we preached last week on the foundation of the church. And 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 14, Paul emphasized for us that there is no other foundation that can be laid. That foundation of Jesus, he paid with his life. And we emphasized that he paid with his life, so we had today victory over sin, victory over sickness, victory over poverty. In Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 19, talks about the fact that Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone. And we look at cornerstone as being the pillar that holds the building together. So the church, which is Jesus' property, is built on his own cornerstone. That's all. So on his person as the Messiah. And that forms the foundation of our faith. We said that through the understanding of his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, we can understand what is his purpose when he instituted the church. And I pointed some key areas for us to identify ourselves with. We said identification is our Messiah, is our Emmanuel. Hebrews 2:9 says, is the one who paid the price once and for all that he may bring many sons to glory. And we said we have to have the understanding of his substitutionary work. Titus 3:5 says, not according to works or the things we have done, but he has saved us. And then the washing and the regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. And we talked about his burial. Colossians 2:12 talks about it. We are buried with him in baptism. And then we are raised through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. We talked about his resurrection. Ephesians 1:19-20 talked about that the eyes of our understanding will be fully enlightened, but that we may know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the mighty work that was worked in Christ when he was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand. You know, the understanding of this thing will help us to know that we are not at the mercy of life. We are not strugglers. We can live victoriously. We are overcomers. Jesus paid the price. And we said last week, whether it's my senior brother or my junior brother or my spouse or my daddy, if I'm owing you money and that money has been paid of my mind, I am free from that debt. I can't be held anymore. You can't arrest me anymore. So Jesus has paid the price. And then we talked about his ascension and then is coming back again. And then we look at the, as a result of us understanding these things, that there are things that belongs to us today. So number one, I start my message from, I just highlighted that last week. Salvation belongs to us today. We are not only saved, but people in our world can be saved. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever," it doesn't matter what their life experiences has been, "whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have an everlasting life, an endless life, a life of possibilities." And verse 17 already made it clear. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He said, but that the world might be saved through him. That is the desire of God. Salvation belongs to us today. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe verse 4, he says, "For God did not want anyone to perish, but for her to come." He said, "He desired that all men must be saved and come to the knowledge of truth." So salvation belongs to us today. It does not matter where that person is at the moment. You can pray them from gutter into a place of honor and destiny in God. Salvation belongs to us today. God is not a respecter of person. We must understand that. And the church is the one who carries that message. You can be saved. You can be delivered. You can be restored. You can be healed. You can have a new beginning. So salvation belongs to us today. Second thing, deliverance belongs to us today. Deliverance. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1. It says, "He has delivered us." It's not that he's going to deliver us in this service. He has. Please say with me this morning, "I have been delivered." Let it sink into your heart. He has. Not that he's going to deliver us. He has delivered us. How? He said, "From the power of darkness." Darkness, anything that is operational in your life takes over your life. It invades your life. So, darkness is synonymous with the devil and all his works. Darkness is bondage. Darkness is limitation. Darkness is guilt. Darkness is condemnation. There's nothing good about darkness. We are in this room, our mood is high because of the light. If it's pitch darkness out there and there is no infiltration of light at all, and then we sit, and you have no phone to fiddle with, we sit in 5 minutes, you will start hearing people hissing. Why? There is nothing good about darkness. So, Jesus has delivered us. I know preachers, we do something to keep people coming or dependent on them. The truth is that he has delivered us. John 8:32 says, "He who the Son sets free is free indeed." I mean, you don't go to hospital every day and say, "Doctor, I'm not feeling fine." And then they test you. I said, "There is nothing wrong with you." They say, "Your BP, everything is okay." And then you go back. The next morning, you show up again. "Doctor, I'm not feeling fine." "Doctor," the next day, you show up. "Doctor, I'm not." Sometimes that's what we do with this deliverance thing. After 1 week, if that is a good doctor, doctor will excuse himself and say, "Maybe you need to see." Because why? There is nothing wrong with you. Your body mass, everything is intact. And you say, "Doctor, I want to pay." He said, "There is nothing wrong with you." So he has delivered us. And Verse 36 of John 8, when the Son sets free, you are free indeed. I have been delivered. I want you to say that to yourself if you know. The devil has no baggage in me. I have been delivered. I know some things used to press me in those days, but I'm the one pressing them now. I have been delivered. You know, it's an insult to the cross. If God says you have been delivered and you said you are not yet delivered. So deliverance belongs to us today. It belongs to us. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. One translation says from the dominion. So whatever takes over your life, dominates your life. But I have been delivered from the power of darkness. I have been translated. One translation says conveyed. I'm in Ikeja now. If I decide to make a trip to Ibadan, I am no more at Ikeja. You say, but no, I used to know Ikeja, but right now, I am at Mokola roundabout Ibadan. And I can make a description if that is where my location is. So our location has changed. Our address has changed. We have a new nature. These are things that belong to us. It's only church people who can make boast of these things. Because the entrance of this thing is your salvation experience. Thirdly, healing belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. Isaiah 53. I don't know who you are, but if you want to understand the subject, you know, a lot of believers, we wait until we have symptoms in our body. No, but these are the things we need to say to ourselves every way. Christianity is not for lazy people. My brothers, my sister. He said, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. So the Redeemer of the Lord must be saying something. One of the things the Redeemer of the Lord can say, because I say that to myself every morning, bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 7. We can quickly run through it. Bless the Lord. We come back to Isaiah 53. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And sometimes when I say it, that's the way I run. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's the way I run. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. The bill is facing me. Life has, Nigeria hasn't changed, but I'm saying to myself, bless the Lord, O my soul. It's a personal decision. And all that is within me. I'm not going to say because the situation of our country is like this, I judge you unfaithful. No, all that is within me, bless his holy name. I said, bless the Lord, O my soul. I will not forget your benefits. I will not. I will not. People may push me in Nigeria to forget your benefit, but I will not. Conductor may push me. I will not. Traffic situation sometimes. You know, there are some traffic situations that your leg will be shaking on your brake. And by the time you are accelerating, it's actually the leg that is accelerating like that. I've been in one or two of them. You can't go forward. You can't go backward. There was one day, we were coming from Ibadan Abi. At a stage, we've been on the same spot. My wife just ran out of the car and she started to vomit. And by the time we move, there was nothing. Except that demons just take over. But you see, at such instance, I say, bless the Lord, O my soul. I will not forget your benefits. You forgive. You know, he said forgive. So that means past, present, and the future. You forgive. All, not some. All. You know, sometimes I need to talk to this person. You've done abortion, fine. And you have serious challenges in wanting to conceive, fine. But he said he forgives. You know, sometimes your mind goes, maybe the one that you have done, that's what happened. Maybe the one that didn't stay. Maybe the way, you know, and the devil bombards our minds with guilt and condemnation. But he said he forgives. He forgives. Not some. all your iniquity. And then he did not only forgive and left me to figure things out for myself. He heals. All, not some. You know, sometimes we feel that maybe headache, God is able to heal headache, but cancer stage 4, maybe he doesn't have capacity. I've seen people recover from stage 4. And they are alive and well, kicking years after. I read the story of a man, all of us know him. So they told him he had prostate cancer. So he went back home, told his wife. The wife said, how was the medical report? Good. He said, but I want to enter that room. Don't bother. I'm okay. I'm good. I need to spend some time. The man came out after 3 days. What was he doing? He wasn't praying. He said he was reading scriptures to himself. After 3 days, went back to the same doctor. They conducted the test. They didn't see anything. And so he gave the clean bill of health. He gave the two to his wife. Because at that point, you get to some things in this journey. So that other people's fear don't affect your faith. I do that a lot. This one, you have to move. The same way you came, you are leaving. He has healed. All. He said, he redeems my life from what? I can give you testimonies of that. How I've missed death by... I mean, it happens. Do you know that this morning, I've said this in all honesty, if God will open your eyes to the things that he has delivered you from just these few hours that with this day, you will pass, some of us will pass out. It is the things that we see that we share as testimonies. There are many things he has delivered us. I don't know if you have read that scripture, but some of us have read it. It says, it delivers you from death and it puts a replacement. How many of you have seen that scripture before? I can show you, but I won't show you. Go and find it out. So I can't die cheaply. This thing, conviction, you. Because when we talk like this sometimes, it's as if we are spooky. We are not here. We are here. We are here. But we just don't allow things to bother us. We move. We move to the next thing God wants to do. He redeems our life from destruction. That's not the end of the story. You know, there's what is called icing on the cake, isn't it? The cake itself is already good. We can consume it. But there are some things that they embellish it with. That the beauty comes out. They are the jarras. He crowns us with his loving kindness. And then what? Tender mercies. I don't know if you're going to put that message of... is the Chosen Breed Church. Pastor Felix, you did a good job this morning. Thank you again. I didn't know you were going to stay. You know, sometimes the mercy of God has nothing to do with we must pray, we must fast. But sometimes the mercy of God, it has not, and the way this mercy manifests. So you go on fasting for 40 days, nothing happened. And then you are not even thinking about it as a prayer point, and it happens. That's why David had to say, for his mercy. Yeah. Mercy has found us. He He shared the testimony, and I reckon with that testimony. You know, sometimes, but people outside, they don't understand. So, someone was in a service in a church, and there was a word that God is connecting her to kings. Where she was, there was no way she can meet kings. So the following week, so when I say where she works, I think she works in the local government. Not even in the capital. Can you get the gist? So the following week, the governor's wife was going to another place, decided to make a detour at that local government's headquarters. And then they said, these are the staffs. Eh? So the governor's wife was shaking. And then got to her and said, who are you? I like you. I want you to come and work for me. Sunday, Monday. You know, sometimes we think, fine, we have to make presentation. No, I'm not saying that we don't. Prepare for your presentation. Prepare for, but when you look at the race of life, it's not to the swift. Battle is not even to the strongest one of us. So it crowns us. You don't hide crown, Abby. It's visible to all. It crowns us with his loving kindness and tender mercies. In Isaiah 49, the Bible talks about this illustration. He said, can a woman forget a sucking? Can a woman ignore the cry of a crying baby? It was a question. And I think there was an answer. He said, yet they may forget. But me, oh. Eh? Isaiah 49, I don't know, 17, 18, 19. He said, but me, I will not forget you. And for you to know, he said, one translation rendered it that way. He said, I have tattooed you on the palms of my hands. And your affairs are continually before me. Yeah, that's 49:16. One translation says, I have tattooed you. So tattoo is not just a new thing on the block. God himself has been tattooing. You know that's the height. I mean, when people love people, their grandmother, their whatever, they tattoo. So when people see the picture, they ask them, so what happened? Ah, he said, this is, or sometimes when they do them bad, they said, this is the one who jilted me. When you indelibly imprinted, laser light can't remove it. So healing belongs to us today. Isaiah 53, can we go through it? Like I said, someone, maybe you are not even struggling with your head. Isaiah 53, 4, 5. Let's look at it together. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. These are the renderings, but if you find it in other rendering, it talks about infirmities, talks about depression, talks about sickness. Jesus has borne them. Say, but sometimes we don't identify with it. We don't identify with that sacrifice. Verse 5. He says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. You know what David said earlier on? He healed all our. He said, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was for our peace, was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. You know, the Jews, they are culture people. So, when they are treating a prisoner, they cane them 39 stripes. Eh? Less one. And they know where to put the koboko so that the thing can enter. The kind of koboko that they use is different from ours. They will have seasoned the bones. Eh? That's, they put, you know, koboko is like that. So they put broken bones inside the koboko. That's what they did, the height of. So when they do one, they pull. So the thing enter and blood is released. But the one for Jesus, it was done by Romans. They are ruthless. So he was in 39. Everywhere that is beatable, he was beaten. That the Bible described that he was mad beyond recognition. And on top of that, when he got on the cross, they broke. I mean, that's another thing. He was already mad beyond recognition. They broke. I've seen that thing done in certain films. I know it's film. But like once they want to hit it, it's like if you watch some of those film by drug dealers and all that, when they catch somebody who is an, they have this special armor that lands on the carpet like that. They just, no, let's not talk. But Jesus was wounded. And by that suffering, we are healed. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. 16 and 17. So, Isaiah prophesied that Jesus came to demonstrate the reality. He said, when the evening had come, they brought to him many. Can you see deliverance here? So when you come to Jesus, deliver, he has delivered you. He has. So many that were demon possessed. And he cast out the spirits with what? When you say with a word, it means they are of no significance. So he wasn't asking the question, how many of you, where are you from? You know those things that we used to do in those days? No, he wasn't asking such questions. He just introduced light. Do demons oppress people today? Yes. If you have one, I cast it out now. In people's mind. That's why people can get depressed. That's when people can get fearful. That's when doubt enters. But he cast out the spirits with a word. But he did something. He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled. It's not that it might happen. It might be fulfilled. It means it has been established. It might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, you know, in inverted comma, he's quoting Isaiah 53:5. He himself took. You know that word? We say, when you take something, eh? The translation is that he forcefully snatched it. That in God's calendar, when he created human being, sickness wasn't part of it. So he forcefully snatched it. He lambano it. Hey. So I forcefully snatched it from AK. Does he still have it? Or maybe when boys want to collect on Anthony or Mushi or any of this area, when they forcefully snatch it, do you run after them to come and take it? No, don't mingle with it. If forcefully, And some of those guys, when they forcefully snatch something, if it's within their territory, they walk with it. They don't hide it. Because there are many forcefully snatchers hiding somewhere. So that it might be fulfilled. Then go to 1 Peter 2:24. You know, the Bible talks about this in 2 Corinthians 13. It said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So when the Bible says God does not leave himself without a witness, it means there are certain things in the word of God that you can actually see. Minimum that you can get is two witnesses. And you are establishing that fact that it is true. But when it comes to the subject of healing, there are many witnesses. As a matter of fact, there are more scriptures, just like there are more scriptures about money than any other thing, than prayer, than any other thing in the scriptures. This is now how Peter was relating with that statement later. He says, who himself is not going to bore or bear. Who himself bore? So it means sickness is an offshoot of sin. So wherever sin problem are dealt with, sickness is also dealt with. Poverty is also dealt with. That's the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28. And Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse. So that's the bearing. So he bore our sins in his own body on the tree that we, in other words, today, having died to sin, might live for righteousness by whose stripes? So the confession is, by whose stripes? Please repeat after me. We were healed. If we were healed, then I am healed. Does that resonate with you? So healing belongs to us today. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, and then he went about not condoning diseases, the doing good is healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Why? For God was with him. 1 John 3:8. He who sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. That is, he who made habitual practice of sin. He said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, healing belongs to us today. It's ours. It's part of the redemption package. The next one, prosperity, peace of mind. Belongs to us today. Prosperity, which is another word for it, is peace of mind. Prosperity, peace of mind, wealth belongs to us today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. Can we read it in Amplified translation? Amplified, please. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and everything by prayer and petition, which means definite requests as regards your situation. But hey, you spice it all with thanksgiving. He said, continue to make your wants known to God. So they may not really be needs, wants, and God's peace. We have to do it for God's peace to be ours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of his salvation through Christ. And so, fearing nothing from God and being content with his outland lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. We use that scripture to pray this morning, 3 John 2. I wish above, that's the will of God for us, above all things that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So, soul prosperity is the foundation for material or emotional prosperity. Soul prosperity. Your soul must be rest assured in the Lord. If that peace is reigning in your heart, creative ideas come to you. If that peace is reigning in your heart, you are not bereft of what to do when it comes to decisions about your family, about your business, about your career. Whatever it is, that peace is what we all need to run in life. And it belongs to us. Number five, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus belongs to us. We sang about that name this morning. And that's the truth. Philippians chapter 2. Can we read verses 5 to 8 in the TPT? But he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you can give us in TPT. He said, consider the example that Jesus, the anointed one, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. Verse 9. Because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names. John 16. Well, okay, let's quickly read this. It says, the authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to this name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord, Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God his Father. John 14:26. I'm looking for that 14:26. I'm looking for that scripture where he says, "Hitherto you have asked me nothing." Yeah, that's the scripture. It's 16:26. It said, in that day, which is the day we live in, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. So we have the name of Jesus. So today, how do we pray? If you want answers to your prayers, you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, in the power that the Holy Spirit supplies. That may be a challenge for many people. Many people have prayed to the Father. They haven't gotten answers. So they've shifted to Jesus and say, Jesus, Jesus. And then they haven't gotten answer. They shifted to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. But hey, he's saying, when you pray to the Father. Whatever you ask the Father in my name. So you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, in the power that the Holy Spirit supplies, based on his word, not on your own terms, on his word. So we have the name of Jesus. Number six, we have power. Power belongs to us today. You know, there was one advert, even though, I mean, the song came to my mind, I will sing it. I know, let not your mind go to that black button. I've got the power. Yeah, we have the power. We have the power. The power we carry is not comparable to anything. In Luke chapter 19, he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread, to make a show, to make a shape. I give unto you power to tread, What does the church have today? We have the power. We have the power. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become. We have the power. Luke 10:19 talks about power to tread upon serpent, upon scorpion, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means. We have the power. What happens when we are supposed to be oppressing and things are oppressing us is because we are not utilizing what we have. So power belongs to us today. We have the power to pray. We have the power to do it individually. We have the power to do it in unison. We have the power to move mountains. We have the power to change things in our nation. So we have the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have his word. We have the power. So your prayer must be based on the word of God. If you want to see answer, your prayer must be based. A lot of the time, for us believers, when you ask people, they say, people will say, pray for me. Or people will say, oh, pray for me. Okay, what do we have to pray for? And then they highlight, I just want you to pray for me. We haven't, the basis of agreement hasn't been established. And so when people even talk, say, okay, I have this area of need, I have that area of need. So the first thing you need to ask that person again is, do you have scriptures? Because the Bible says, two shall agree. When people say, pray for me, they are alluding that responsibility to you. But when you ask them, do you have scripture? Usually, without fail, 99.9% of time, they said, no, they don't have any scripture. Then we don't have basis of agreement, and then we don't have basis to receive answer to our prayers. Whatever area of need that you have, don't rush into prayer. What? Ask yourself the basic question. What does God's word say about this need? And then you have scripture, you have agreement, and then you can pray to the Father, holding him up by his word, in the name of Jesus. You pray in the strength and the power, Romans 8:26, in the strength and the power that the Holy Spirit gives. Lastly, today, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. There is no other religion who claims to have the Holy Spirit. They don't know what it is. Jesus said they will not recognize it, but you recognize it. So Romans 8:26 says, is our helper. He helps in our weakness. He helps. John 14:26 again. Let me see whether I can do this. John 14:26. There are sevenfold dimension of who the Holy Spirit is. Can you give us in the Amplified translations? So, he is the comforter. You can get back home today. Please go and find out the meaning in dictionary. Comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. And you will agree with me, there is no challenge that we are all faced with in life that doesn't fall under this seven category. That's the who the Holy Spirit, that thing that we carry on the inside of us, that stays in our spirit man. That's who he is to us. So when life shoves you and you need someone to lean on, is your comforter. When you need to make decision, your counselor. When every other help fails, is your helper. When you need to talk to the source, is your intercessor. There's a limit to what you can say in your native language or English language in the place of prayer. So he has given you the gift of other tongue, which refreshes you, which helps you to be able to pray. If you use English language to pray, after 10 minutes, you will be doing verbatim. You will repeat. And you hear that a lot. Father, Lord, Father, Lord, Father, Lord, Father, Lord. Because why? We are limited. The Holy Spirit. What can help you put? The Holy Spirit, by speaking in other tongue, helps you. It refreshes you. Jude 20 says, it's like it's helping you to build an edifice with your life. So he's our advocate. He's our strengthener. Is our standby. So the church is not a religious body. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship between a father, Father God in this case, and his children. The church is Christ's possession. So we are advantage. We are at a very good advantage. Those seven things, salvation, deliverance, healing, prosperity, peace of mind, the name of Jesus, power, and the Holy Spirit, put the church at the edge or above civilization. Put the church as the center for transformation. Put the church as the hope of our world. I pray that this week will be a week of blessing, a week of grace, a week of mercy, a week where you will pause to think closely at the things that belong to us today. And as you do it, may the peace of our God continually garrison your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Over your family, we declare shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Over your business, shalom. Over your career path, shalom. But the peace of our God that passes all understanding continue to garrison your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. No anxiety, no depression, no disappointment. The joy of the Lord continually be your strength. The church is the hope of our world. We need to become that ambassadors that carry this mandate to our hurting world. May the Lord our God use you this week to become an answer to someone's need. In Jesus' name.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,